Good morning and welcome to Morning Glory on EWTN Radio. We're doing a restart on this Wednesday, the 28th of June. We had some technical difficulties, so you were listening to the best of Morning Glory. In the meantime, we welcome you to the show for this live Wednesday, June 28th. 12th week in Ordinary Time, the Feast of St. Irenaeus. I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Our producer is Elisa Murphy, and our godly counsel, Father Mark Ivany, will begin with prayer this morning.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Good and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of being with you this morning and being present to you every day. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit to enliven the minds and the hearts of all of those who are with us throughout the world listening, all those who desire to know you more, Father. Be present to us today and allow us to see you in the smallest and littlest ways. We make this prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Father. Gloria?
Mother says today, I think Jesus would be most pleased if he could find people who say, Jesus, I'm not asking for anything. If I have a punishment due to me, I will take whatever you give me. I just want to love you now. I just want to love you for yourself.
All right, it's 5 minutes after now, and a subway train derails in Manhattan Tuesday, slightly injuring several passengers. Some complain they were left with no instructions. They were forced to walk into dangerous tunnels.
And it was like one of those disaster movies. People were in and out of seats screaming.
We just didn't know what was going on. We felt like, we really felt like we were going to die, actually. We didn't know what had happened.
The accident may have been triggered by sloppy repair work, according to the investigation. Transit officials say they're inspecting every inch of the subway system to make sure replacement parts are properly secured. The Pentagon says it's detecting active preparations by Syria for a chemical weapons attack. Tuesday's statement gives weight to an earlier White House assertion that the Syrian government would pay a heavy price if it carried out such an attack. Russia denounced the warning, raising tensions between Washington and Moscow over the Syrian civil war. An attack is launched from an apparently hijacked police helicopter on Venezuela's Supreme Court building. It had been circling the capital city of Caracas before dropping at least two grenades on the Supreme Court building. The attempt on the court comes after months of violent protest. Clashes between authorities and anti-government demonstrators have left at least 75 people dead. In a video message released on social media, an officer calling himself Oscar Perez says he represents a coalition of military employees, police officers, and civilians. He urges Venezuelans to rise up against what he calls the tyranny in the country. President Nicolas Maduro calls it a terrorist attack. A date now set for the beatification of Father Solanus Casey, just the second American-born man to be beatified. The Capuchin Franciscan Order of St. Francis says the ceremony will be held in Detroit November 18th. Father Casey was one of the co-founders of Detroit's Capuchin Soup Kitchen. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and presidential advisor Ivanka Trump released the 2017 human trafficking report Tuesday. The statistics show about 20 million people, mostly women and children, are trafficked worldwide. Secretary Tillerson calls on governments to do more to end the practice this century. He says human trafficking is becoming more nuanced and harder to identify. A federal judge in Detroit temporarily suspends the deportation of 1,400 Iraqi nationals, including some Chaldean Christians. U.S. District Judge Mark Goldsmith says there are allegations the detainees face extraordinarily grave consequences, death, persecution, and torture if deported. The U.S. government says 1,400 Iraqis are under deportation orders nationwide, some for committing crimes here in the U.S. Rescued civilians report captured priest Father Teresito Chito Sudenbab was seen alive Sunday in a Philippine city under Islamist control. Militants stormed the city of Marawi in May, taking 100 civilians hostage, using some of them as human shields. Father Sudenbab was seen in a video released a week after his capture, appealing to President Rodrigo Duterte to withdraw the army and stop the airstrikes. Bishops have appealed for the hostages' release. Nearly 400 people have been killed in the fighting in that city. Pope Francis reflects on the example of the martyrs, continuing his message of Christian hope at his Wednesday general audience this morning. The Holy Father says the martyrs, who have even today laid down their lives for the faith, do so out of love. By their example and intercession, may we become ever more convincing witnesses, above all, in the events of our daily lives, to our undying hope in the promises of Christ. By the way, Pope Francis marked the 25th jubilee of his ordination as bishop on Tuesday. Dr. Matthew Bunsen is with us this morning. That's a big milestone for the Holy Father, Matthew.
It is. Good morning. And he celebrated Mass in what's called the Pauline Chapel, which is right next to the Sistine Chapel. And he had a lot to say, especially about his takeaway line for the day was that the new cardinals coming in and bishops need to be grandfathers, that this isn't a gerontocracy.
Yes, five new members will be added to the College of Cardinals today. And EWTN News Nightly's Rome correspondent Mary Shovlin says this relatively small group is quite significant.
Four out of the five men come from places that have never had a cardinal before. Cardinals from Sweden now, Mali, El Salvador, and Laos. And the fifth one coming from Spain, which has always traditionally had a cardinal there. And these picks took many by surprise, but it does show Pope Francis's continued concern for the peripheries. All five of them are under the age of 80, which means they're eligible to vote for the next pope.
Bishop Anders Arborelius, the first Catholic bishop of Swedish origin to be named cardinal since the Lutheran Reformation, shares his thoughts on why Pope Francis chose him.
Well, I think that the Holy Father is very interested in the minorities, those who live far away from the center, those who are a bit lost in the world. And as you know, Sweden is a very secularized country, and he wanted to encourage us to keep on hoping and living our faith, even if we are so few.
There are only 200,000 Catholics in Sweden. We'll talk more about that consistory with Dr. Matthew Bunsen. Gloria will talk with Matthew in a moment. But first, let's check your forecast at 10 minutes after the hour.
Morning Glory weather.
Spring-like temps along the mid-Atlantic with rains across the Midwest for your Wednesday. Sunny, reaching a high of 81 in Columbus for those tuned to St. Gabriel Radio this morning. Passing showers with temps in the low 80s in Melbourne, Florida for our listeners on Divine Mercy Catholic Radio. And in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, expect a sunny day hitting 88 for those tuned to St. Rose Radio.
And it's good to have Father Mark Ivedy back with us this morning. Father.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What's been going on with you since last time we saw you? Lots, I'm sure.
Lots. You know, being that I work as spiritual director in our seminary and vocation director, people think that I have the summer off. Yeah. What do you do in the summer when all the seminarians are gone? And, it's been a busy summer, but it's been a real fruitful one.
You know, I'm just curious, what are some of the things people should look for if they want to get a spiritual director?
That is a good question. Unfortunately, there's not enough spiritual directors to go around.
I know.
St. Teresa of Avila says, you know, I would rather have a wise spiritual director than a holy one. Mm-hmm. And it is something that, you know, you do want to have, your spiritual director does want to have some training. Mm-hmm. Because you can really mess somebody up if you don't know what you're doing, like a doctor without
license or training.
Right.
Let me ask you something. I've heard in this conversation about spiritual directors, I heard some Catholics say, well, I'm going to go to this Protestant pastor for spiritual direction. And I'm like, why? And someone was saying, oh, but they believe in Christ. And I'm like, but they have a different... It's completely different from our understanding and the fullness of the truth that we have. So I would say at least one basic requirement would be that they be Catholic.
I would hope so. And obviously there's many things we share in common, but maybe to talk about the scriptures or something with them would be great, but they don't have the tradition. And so if we think about saints like Ignatius of Loyola, who, you know, they wouldn't have that in their tradition. They wouldn't have some... Saint Ephrem and some of these powerhouses who've really written a book on spiritual discernment, spiritual warfare. Don't want to miss out on all that.
So many people, right. Father, don't have a spiritual director. In fact, a lot of people don't even know what that is. What do you think they're missing if they don't have a spiritual director?
Well, I think the first thing is that, you know, you don't need one to be holy, but there are certain people, you know, involved more actively in their relationship with God at a deeper level, particularly if they have are in positions of influence in areas like that, priest, religious sisters, and lay people who are engaged in more full-time ministry. It's important to know what spirits are working on you. And a spiritual director does not tell you what to do, how to live your life, make decisions for you, but he or she will hold up what they see the Lord or the enemy trying to do in your life, and allow you to empower you to make the right decision.
That's why I think we all need them. Right? That's very helpful. Have you, we were looking at this story where California had banned travels to states that protect Christians who support one man, one woman marriage. And I thought it was interesting that in that list was California. They banned state-funded travel to Texas. Well, you know Texas had something to say. The Governor Greg Abbott's press secretary said California might be able to stop their state employees, but they can't stop all the businesses that are fleeing over taxation and regulation and relocating to Texas. And I'm just laughing because California's like, yeah, we're gonna let you know things are not so wonderful there. And of course, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says, if California state employees can't come to Texas, they will be among the few Californians who remain at home. Thousands of folks fled California's high taxes and liberal attitudes to come to Texas in 2015. Overall, Texas gained over 500,000 new residents from other states. In California, almost 700,000 people moved out. So Texas is like, yeah, you don't have to send your employees, but everybody else wants to come. So
Alabama, Kentucky, and South Dakota are also on that list.
You know, they're missing out a lot if they don't come to Kentucky, but we don't need any California state employees here. Don't Californicate Kentucky. Okay.
He calls him Governor Moonbeam Brown.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Gloria, you're going to talk with Matthew next.
Yes, I'll be talking with Matthew Bunsen about all the things that are going on at the convocation that will be coming up in Orlando, and also what's happening at the Vatican with the consistory.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned next on Morning Glory.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory. EWTN is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If your cable or satellite provider doesn't carry EWTN's full programming lineup, give them a call and let them know you would like to receive EWTN 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
For more information, go to EWTN.com and click on television.
Top evangelists are gathering July 1st through the 4th for the Convocation of Catholic Leaders, the joy of the gospel in America. Under the leadership of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, they will identify solutions to some of the greatest challenges the church faces today. To learn more about the discussion and what these missionary disciples will bring back to your communities, go to usccb.org/convocation.
No Catholic radio station in your area? Perhaps God is calling you to get involved. Learn more about starting a Catholic radio station where you live. Contact Jack Williams, 205-795-5756, or jwilliams@ewtn.com today.
This is Janet Benkovic, host of Women of Grace.
Hello, this is Cardinal Donald Wuerl of the Archdiocese of Washington.
This is Gloria Purvis, host of Morning Glory. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
And we're back at 16 minutes past the hour on this Wednesday morning, June 28th, 2017. In the studio with me is Dr. Matthew Bunsen. Hello.
Good morning.
On the phone is, with me also is Brian Patrick. Good morning, Brian. And also Father Mark Ivany is our godly counsel. So, Dr. Bunsen, you are the senior EWTN correspondent, senior editor for the National Catholic Register, and you will be all about town in Orlando during the upcoming USCCB convocation.
I will with you, I'm happy to say.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm going to be moderating all the panels on the main stage. But I want you to help our listeners understand, what is the purpose and intention of this upcoming convocation?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're going to have such a major role in it. Mm-hmm. And I think in a way that gives us an idea of what we're going to be doing down in Orlando. And that is helping to form missionary disciples.
Yep.
In sort of the spirit and really the text and letter of Evangelii Gaudium, mm-hmm. the joy of the gospel. Mm-hmm. How do we bring that joy of the gospel out back to the peripheries, but also back to our diocese, our parishes? And so that the USCCB has brought together, or will be bringing together, about 4,000.
Yeah, that's about right. Mm-hmm.
Leaders from around the United States. I'm not sure how many bishops will be there at this point, but about 160, mm-hmm. give or take. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a lot of speakers. You're going to have panels. But really, the point is to get everyone talking together on how to communicate the beauty and joy of the gospel to a modern world.
Well, I think this interesting is the main stage panels are going to do the big high-level talk, and then there are going to be these breakout sessions where people can really go and get down into the meat of it and make the sausage, I guess. Are you going to be attending any of those breakouts?
Well, I'll be doing one, so I'll be speaking at one, and then hoping to attend as many others as possible. And what I find so interesting is when you scroll down the list of the topics, it's almost everything. It's not like the kitchen sink sort of thing. It's been really well thought out. So you've got panels on homelessness, you've got panels on immigration, but then you've also got panels on what they call SOGI, in other words, sexual orientation, gender identity. The whole question of the throwaway culture, materialism, where we are in communications, how do we communicate better as a church?
Well, and I think they're trying to make sure people understand the challenges that we're facing and also how to better engage once you make that decision to heed that radical call to be a missionary disciple. So I'm very excited about what's going to be happening there. What's your topic for your breakout? I'm just curious.
My topic is on Pope Francis and the throwaway culture.
Oh. Are there other people on the panel?
There are. We've got a number of people from the Chiaroscuro. We've got Christ in the City.
Okay.
We have the Archdiocese of Boston. And, of course, every one of these panels also has at least one or two bishops.
Okay.
So we hear their voice as well. And that's an important perspective to have because you can see the thrust and the importance that the bishops are placing on this convocation.
Now,
it's never happened before.
Well, and I think the other thing that I think is big, although they're only they're having delegates that are going, it's going to be televised so people can follow it. So EWTN.
EWTN, I understand, will be broadcasting all of the plenary sessions, and you're going to have speakers like Helen Alvarez and others. So tune in. It's really worth listening. And, of course, you don't want to miss you, Gloria.
Oh, you're very kind. I think, actually, the people, the experts that are going to be on the panels, I'm so excited. I've already been speaking with them, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be fire. So make sure you follow it. It's going to be great. Now, I understand the National Catholic Register, where you're a senior editor, has recently won an award.
Yes, this last weekend, the Catholic Press Association at the Catholic Media Convention in Quebec, Canada, had its annual awards, and I'm honored to say that the National Catholic Register won Newspaper of the Year.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Very exciting.
That
news.
Is awesome.
And it's a testament, I think, really to the vision right from the top from Michael Warsaw and also Dan Burke, the executive director, and the very hard work of what I think is an incredible editorial team, starting, of course, with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief. Mm-hmm. And we had a number of awards also for some of our writers, Peter Jesser Smith, Victor Guyton, all of them winning awards. It's really a testament, I think, to the vision that we have for what a Catholic newspaper should be, but also that digital presence.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we had Peter Jesser Smith actually on the show on one of the articles that he'd written for National Catholic Register. So
yeah, it was an incredible piece on Sudan.
It was fantastic.
I can't help but wonder if that has the success of the Register has something to do with the bishop's desire for to have you part of the convocation.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But the whole media getting out, reaching people, is what that convocation is all about. So
well, and the thing too is with the Register, we really focus on getting it right, also being faithful, being orthodox, and providing people clarity in what we're writing about.
And let me tell you, that is so necessary. I mean, I see so many things out there in social media. I'm like, that's not quite right. So it's like, you know, you can go to National Catholic Register and trust that what you're getting is solid, it's going to be clear, and it's just, I think, a good way to help people. I always think of Scripture when I see these crazy things out there, the blind lead the blind and they both fall in the pit. Well, that won't happen with you if you're reading the National Catholic Register. You're not blind. We're not going to fall in the pit following you.
And one thing that's fun, too, about the Register is we cover pretty much the whole gamut. The church is interested in everything, and so are we. So we'll cover politics. We'll cover the latest developments of the Supreme Court with the House and Senate, what they're doing, of course, the trying to keep up with the White House. But then we also have these beautiful pieces on spiritual direction, on the saints. We just had a great piece on Sanctity in America by Joe Pronishin. And we were looking at the causes of saints that are open today in the United States, reminding people that, yes, we live in culture. We can get caught up. We're looking at the Capitol building through our window here. You can get caught up in that. But let's not lose sight of the eternal.
Which is so important. And speaking of the eternal, today is the memorial of St. Irenaeus. Could you tell us? Irenaeus
of Lyon, yes. Mm-hmm. He died around 202. He's one of the earliest of the church fathers. And we owe an immense debt to Irenaeus. Just, if for nothing else, in one book he wrote, it was called Against the Heresies. Mm-hmm. And he looked at all of the heresies that were facing the early church, especially Gnosticism, this idea of secret knowledge. Mm-hmm. And we see that today, where everywhere around us, people seem to possess this secret knowledge that only a few can share. Mm-hmm. And Irenaeus destroyed the whole idea of Gnosticism. But he also had these beautiful devotion and love to the Blessed Mother. So in the history of the Church, he's one of the first of the Church Fathers to focus so heavily on Mary, the Mother of God.
Beautiful. Now, are any of his writings like people following now, or is there any particular?
Yeah, I would encourage everyone, in fact, to read Against the Heresies. It's one of those timeless documents. And the thing, too, with Irenaeus is that he was the bishop of Lugdunum, what mm-hmm. is today Lyon. Mm-hmm. And he led the church during a time of great persecution. There's a tradition that he may have died as a martyr, but we're not sure about that. But this is a time of persecution, of living in a culture that's very contrary to what we believe. So mm-hmm. in that sense, too, he's a great role model for all of us.
Well, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, Senior EWTN Correspondent and Senior Editor for the National Catholic Register, thank you for joining Morning Glory. And if you're interested in following Matt's work, which I'm sure you are, you can go to ncregister.com. Thank you.
Great to be with you.
Hey, Matt, great to see you, and congratulations to you and all the Register staff. What a great honor.
Yeah, we're really excited about this. It's a privilege to be part of the Register.
Well, we appreciate you being part of Morning Glory, where it's 24, almost 25 after the hour now on your Wednesday morning, just ahead of some spiritual guidance from our godly council. We're going to go to Lisa Murphy for some Catholic chatter.
You can find us on Twitter at EWTN. Email the show directly, morningglory@EWTN.com. We've heard from one Father Petrie listening in Roma this morning, and he agrees the National Catholic Register is great, solid reporting, getting things right and without an agenda. And Brian, if you recall the story yesterday about the Southwest Airlines flight where the lady was trying to open the door, we've heard from a captain. Captain Tom wrote in saying there's no way she could have opened that door. You'd have to be really, really strong. And he says, I don't think she ate that much spinach. She won't be able to do it. I'm strong to the finish because I eat me spinach. Yeah.
Popeye.
He's got a great point. The cabin is pressurized so that you can't release that door unless the pressure is let off. So very interesting point, but still a very scary situation aboard that plane. So Father Mark Ivany is our godly counsel today. Where do you want to take us in spiritual direction this morning?
I would love to say a word about the end of the gospel today from Matthew, mm-hmm. where our Lord says to us, by their fruits you will know them. Mm. You know, a lot of times I found just in discussion with people, particularly with older fathers and mothers, that they receive this word of our Lord sometimes in a very accusative way, and they hear it as in, their sons or daughters' actions are how they will be judged. And this, of course, is not always the case. Certainly, you know, parents have a lot to do with the formation of their children, a great deal to do with their formation of their children. There is a thing called free will. Mm. And and there's so many other factors coming into the lives of our young people. And we know that some of the greatest saints' children were not always saints. Mm. And this today's gospel is supposed to be a word of encouragement for us to look at, you know, how we're doing. How are we treating people? How are we praying? How are we offering things up for our Lord? How are we taking advantage of the sacraments and sharing our faith? And that's how we will be judged, the fruit of our own work, and not necessarily the fruit of others. So I think that may be helpful for some folks that are out there today.
Always helpful, Father. We appreciate you being with us on Morning Glory on this Wednesday, the 28th of June. The month is almost over. It's been a beautiful month for a good part of the country. Normally, we get an awful lot of hot weather, but it's been very pleasant, especially east of the Mississippi River. Coming up on Morning Glory on this Wednesday morning, we have your news. We'll catch you up on what's going on around the world. And we'll be talking about the promise of the Trump administration to care for veterans. Veteran war correspondent Robert Dvorak joins us next as Morning Glory continues on EWTN Radio.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.
Have you heard about Church Pop? It's the newest member of the EWTN family with new online Christian content that's fun and inspiring every day. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com.
Raymond Arroyo.
Part of the success we've had on the world over, I attribute to the audience, my relationship with Mother Angelica, and her teaching me that when you sit with someone, you talk to them, and you create an environment where they will tell you things they wouldn't tell anyone else. That ease, that humor, that warmth, she gave me that, and that's what I try to impart and make a part of every interview we do on the world over.
The world over, tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Celebrating 100 years of Fatima with Monsignor Charles Pope.
On May 13, 1917, in her first apparition to the three children, Our Lady of Fatima said, "Are you willing to offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings He wills to send you as an act of reparation for the conversion of sinners?" It's a powerful question. It's a question that's also being asked of us. Are we willing? Do we pray for the conversion of sinners? Are we willing to fast? Are we willing to accept suffering that the Lord might send us so that sinners can be converted? Are we even willing to suffer ourselves for our own conversion? So often we simply want things to be well, but we don't want to be part of the solution. We ask God to fix things. But God asks us, will you join me in this great work for the conversion of sinners?
Join EWTN as we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Visit EWTN.com/Fatima.
This is John Martinoni, host of Open Line Monday.
Hello, this is Archbishop Charles J. Chaput, the Archbishop of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
This is Jerry Usher, co-host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, live from Capitol Hill, this is Morning Glory.
It is half past the hour on Wednesday in the 12th week of Ordinary Time, the Feast of St. Irenaeus. And is there a little bit of daredevil in you? That's the topic of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon today on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Thank you for starting your day with us. I'm Brian Patrick with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Elisa Murphy is our producer, and our godly counsel, Father Mark Ivedy, begins this half hour in prayer. Father?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, we ask you to send down your Holy Spirit upon us this morning. Enliven both our minds and our hearts. Allow us to recognize you in all things this day. And allow us the courage and the confidence to share and to spread your gospel wherever you desire to do us. And help us to do this with great joy in our hearts. We ask this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Irenaeus, and all of our friends, the saints. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Father Mark.
You're
What's your musing about today, Gloria?
It's going to be about seeking the Lord.
All right, we'll look forward to that in a few minutes. Senate leaders delay the vote to repeal and replace Obamacare until after the 4th of July recess. Any legislation must return to the House, where Speaker Paul Ryan says he is confident of final passage. Pope Francis reflects on the example of the martyrs, continuing his message of Christian hope this morning at his Wednesday General Audience. The Holy Father says, "The martyrs who even today lay down their lives for the faith do so out of love by their example and intercession. May we become ever more convincing witnesses, above all, in the events of our daily lives, to our undying hope in the promises of Christ." The Holy Father will name five new cardinals today. He celebrated his 25th jubilee as a bishop on Monday, actually Tuesday. Wildfire season activity increasing with hot, dry, windy weather in the West. CAL FIRE spokeswoman Lynn Tomikoff says a fast-moving blaze that broke out Tuesday in the rugged foothills east of Los Angeles has forced evacuations. The fire is threatening structures in the town of Highland.
The fire started behind a Walmart, and that is a very populated area, a lot of homes right in that location. So you're probably looking at least a couple hundred homes that have been evacuated in that area.
The fire has burned more than 300 acres so far. Reports of a possible active shooter sends Redstone Arsenal into lockdown Tuesday. The military installation outside Huntsville, Alabama, is home to more than 70 different units, including the Army and the FBI. Redstone spokesman Chris Colster says it had nothing to do with the safety drill planned for this week.
I believe our employees are well trained because we do this all the time, and we just hope and pray there's no casualties or injuries.
The incident is now being investigated as a hoax. So the Trump administration is promising accountability for the Veterans Administration. And we have veteran war correspondent Robert Dvorak, the author of Drive On, joining us live on Morning Glory this morning. Bob, good to have you.
Good to be here. Every day is a gift.
You know it. As a veteran who has fought for our country and very close to the needs and the concerns of veterans, what do you think of the current administration and its commitment to serving our veterans and offering them what they've been promised as they served our nation?
Well, yes, and I do think that's a just a basic fundamental right that, you know, we asked our sons and daughters to go off and fight these things, and it's our obligation to fulfill the promises we made to them that when they return that we'll be there to care for them long after the war is over, because, you know, there are these invisible wounds that come with war. There are no unwounded soldiers in war. And there's the psychological, the emotional wounds that have to be addressed. So I really love to hear that message. And I think it's incumbent on all of us, because if it wasn't for our soldiers, our men and women, Marines, sailors, airmen, we wouldn't have a country.
We certainly wouldn't live in the freedom that we enjoy and are trying to share with a good part of the world. As a correspondent who has been embedded with our troops, what do you see in the way of heroism and just basic the commitment to our freedom from these fighting men and women?
They're just magnificent people in the way that they will assume the risk. And they know it's dangerous, but they take up the challenge anyway, because they're it's for the country that holds their family. And I can tell you this, on the eve of battle, as they prepare for these things, they make peace with themselves. And I've been with soldiers who have been reading the Bible, the 91st Psalm. They call it the Soldier's Psalm, where you put your fate in the hands of a higher power. And it's just so amazing to see these little rituals that they do. And I will, as a war correspondent, they give you, the military is incredible, they give you a dog tag. So, you know, you have your blood type and also your religious preference. So I had my Roman Catholic faith stamped right onto my dog tag. And it does give you some solace as you go into these things, because you never know.
I'm curious, as with the VA partnership with the Department of Health and Human Services to provide direct patient care to veterans, is that going to mean veterans will get more speedy service, better service?
Well, it's, I would certainly hope so, because the last thing you need is who goes to the VA and gets denied a claim, or they say it's not service-related, or they have to wait for care and treatment. It's it's almost like you don't want to have to fight an enemy overseas and then come home and have to fight your own bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. That has to be an efficient, speedy, just basic care that they have to have. And as I mentioned, the psychological side, the coming home, the coming back down from the battles that they've been in.
Well, yeah, we appreciate their service and understand the challenges that they face. Before we let you go, Robert, tell us a little bit about your book, Drive On.
Well, it's a journal that I kept during the first Gulf War, the war with Iraq, and included a chapter on my father, who was a Navy veteran in World War II, and a brother who was wounded twice in Vietnam. So it's a sort of a personal journey, it gives you a very good insight on the interactions with all the branches of the service, but especially the 82nd Airborne and the patron saint of paratroopers is Michael the Archangel.
Yeah.
Descended into hell to fight Lucifer's legions, because even the Almighty needs a contingency force.
He's a member, an honorary member of the 82nd Airborne, St. Michael the Archangel. All right, Robert Dvorak, war correspondent, author of Drive On. Thanks for joining us on Morning Glory. Thanks for all you do.
And bless you for bringing up these issues for our veterans.
All right. Well, we appreciate you helping with that today as we take a look at sports ahead of the forecast and Morning Glory and Musings. Max Scherzer allowing one run and two hits as the Washington Nationals knock off the Cubs 6-1. Adrian Beltre hits his 450th career home run, a solo drive of the ninth inning off Cody Allen, sending the Texas Rangers of the Cleveland Indians 2-1. The Baltimore Orioles beat the Toronto Blue Jays 3-1, and Joey Votto hit a tie-breaking two-run homer in the fifth inning, helping the last-place Cincinnati Reds top the Milwaukee Brewers 8-6. The Tampa Bay Rays get a 4-2 win over the Pittsburgh Pirates in 10 innings, and Detroit beats Kansas City 5-3. It is 21 till now, and time for our forecast with Elisa Murphy.
Morning Glory weather.
Gorgeous weather in the Northeast for your Wednesday. Perfect sun over Boston, reaching a high of 61. For those tuned to Station of the Cross this morning, a cloudy day climbing to 72 in Boise for those tuned to Salt and Light Radio. And here in our nation's capital, in the District of Columbia, a sunny day climbing to a low of 82, I would say, for those tuned to the Guadalupe Radio Network.
All right, thank you, Elisa. Father Mark is our celebrant for Holy Mass right after Morning Glory at the top of the hour here on EWTN Radio, where it's 21 till. Gloria?
So when I was at Mass, my husband and I were at Mass with our daughter, Lourdes. I happened to notice, I looked at her, and she looked like she was just about to bust. I mean, she was just like she's bracing herself for something, and then she just sort of looked up at me. She said, "Mommy, is he going to kiss me?" And I was like wondering what she was talking about, and she motioned over. There was this big crucifix right over where we were sitting in the pew. And apparently the priest must have said something about Jesus and the kiss of Jesus or something. And it looked like Christmas morning. I mean, she was so like, is he going to kiss us? Is he going to kiss me? Can I hug him? And I just can't describe to you the innocent love, the longing that was like pouring out of my child right there during Mass. And she often does ask these questions. She's like, "Mommy, when I'm praying, I actually don't hear God's voice. When will I hear his voice? When can I hug Jesus?" And she said, "Do I need to die first to hug Jesus, to be with him?" And, you know, I'm seeing this longing and this love in my child, and I'm like, well, we will. When we get to the other side, I can assure you we'll get to hug him and see him. But in different ways, he communicates with us on this side. And I could see she has this desire, and I'm not sure exactly how to help her understand, to listen in a way to hear God's language. And there's a process of learning God's language and to help her have the patience, but also to point to her to how we can see the magnificence of God in nature. And it's beautiful how children can just notice things as you're going places. We'll be driving someplace. She said, "Did you see that rabbit?" And I'm like, "No, I was looking at the car in front of me." But, you know, how they have this awe and wonder, and they see things that we become blind to, really, as adults. And it's reminding me and seeing this innocent love and just bursting desire to hug the Lord, to be with the Lord, to go closer to the Lord, how much it is about learning to hear God's language, learning God's language. And I'm hoping Father Mark Ivany can help us with this.
Well, it's a beautiful thing to hear a mother talk about the joy that they receive in watching and experiencing their child come to know the Lord more. And that's what we do as priests. We take the joy in seeing our children develop their relationship with God. And Gloria asked that great question. Well, what can I do to, you know, how can I teach my daughter how to be in communication with God better? How can she hear the Lord? And in one sense, you know, the Lord is going to do this work. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as you love your daughter, as much as you want her to know Jesus, Jesus wants her to know him all the more, mm-hmm. and has a greater desire for her. And the Holy Spirit is active already in her life and already working in her hearts. And it's so beautiful to see that you have created an environment for her to succeed in this aspect of her life.
Well, I don't know. We try. I mean, we you know, from a very early age, we've told her, you know, about Jesus. We've told her about, because her name is Lourdes Grace, we've told her about the special blessing we believe we received at Lourdes and that the Lord gave her to us. And so we helped her understand, you know, we are all God's children, which is also sort of blowing her mind that we're her brothers and sisters in Christ, but yet her mother and father on earth. That's just like blowing her mind. She thinks that's just fabulous. But those are the interesting things about being children of the Lord. So
certainly. And the environment that a child is raised in, When that stuff is talked about, when you tell your child that, you're a gift from God, and in fact, we went to Lourdes, etc., that has an impact on the children. And they're more open in their faith. I just led a discernment pilgrimage for 14 of us went to Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Mexico City.
Oh, wow.
And we were doing some street ministry with some homeless folks and feeding and praying with them. And as we began to pray with some of the folks, some of the pilgrims, some of the Mexican pilgrims from different parts of Mexico came up for prayer as well.
Oh, wow.
And it was a very powerful experience, just praying with some of these individuals who were there for a particular reason, there for a healing or for an intercession. And they had been raised in this Catholic faith, this beautiful Catholic faith from the very beginning. And they received the blessings of the Holy Spirit so easily. Even though they were older, these two women that I was praying over, they received it like a child. And they certainly heard the Lord, the voice of the Lord speaking to them.
I mean, what is that? I mean, after going on pilgrimage and being able to see that, I mean, that's like a big hug from the Lord right there to you, see that right there.
It certainly was. And we don't know exactly what the Lord was doing for everyone, but it was a great witness for those men that were discerning the priesthood. It was a great affirmation for me and for the families of these two women that received a really outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We know that it was powerful.
You know, you were mentioning about children. One of the things, sometimes we get invited to people's houses to go to dinner, and oftentimes they're basically not practicing anything. They're nuns. Nuns meaning no religious identity, not religious sister. And as we sit down to the table, Lourdes has raised her hand and said, I want to be the one to lead the prayer. And, you know, I just have to laugh because she's so not shy about saying, we need to thank God for this food. And so here you have these people that practice no faith being led by a little child in prayer.
The children will lead them.
Amen.
Father Mark, I know you have Mass, so thank you for spending some time with us this morning.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
And Dr. Matthew Bunsen is our guest this morning in studio. He'll be talking with the Auxiliary Bishop of Detroit next. A lot going on in that archdiocese. Stay with us for Morning Glory.
Every new morning is a gift. This is Morning Glory.
We need Catholic radio because we need the voice of the church in the public forum. We live in a time that the secular voice dominates so thoroughly that we need to get that Catholic perspective out. Just as Fulton Sheen used radio and TV in the last century, we need to continue to use. This means to announce the Catholic faith in the public forum.
Bishop Robert Barron thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
This is Al Cresta, host of Cresta in the Afternoon. And Cresta in the Afternoon looks at all of life through the lens of Scripture and the teaching of the Catholic Church. Church teaching is the light by which we view the world, and so we'll explore everything, from abortion to Hollywood, and from the First Amendment to the United Nations, and everything in between. Following St. Paul, we're seeking transformation through the renewing of our minds. So that's Cresta in the Afternoon, with me, Al Cresta, weekdays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Carry EWTN with you everywhere when you download the EWTN app. You can enjoy EWTN TV and radio live streams, shows on demands, prayers and devotionals, and the latest Catholic news. Visit EWTNapps.com today.
This is Bishop Paul Bradley of the Diocese of Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Hi, this is Tim Staples from Catholic Answers Live.
This is Father John Ricardo. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Value your opinion. Email morningglory at ewtn.com.
You might even hear that email on Catholic Chatter with Elisa Murphy as Morning Glory continues 13 before the hour on Wednesday, the 28th of June. Good morning. I'm Brian Patrick along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
Also in studio, we have senior correspondent for the National Catholic Register and contributor to EWTN, Dr. Matthew Bunsen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Matthew.
Well, we're joined by the Auxiliary Bishop of Detroit, Bishop Gerard Battersby. He's going to talk about a new pastoral initiative on the part of the Archdiocese of Detroit. Good morning, Your Excellency.
Good morning.
Well, the title of this new initiative for the Archdiocese is Unleash the Gospel, and I know it focuses on the new evangelization. And the three key words I noticed that the Archdiocese is stressing are encounter, grow, and witness.
That's
what led to this new pastoral initiative?
You know, looking at the landscape of the Archdiocese and seeing that the same old patterns of functioning as the church in Detroit was not winning the hearts and minds of our people for Christ. And so it's a conviction that at the very heart of the church, the very nature of the church is evangelization, is to present Christ to the world. And it was that conviction that led us to believe that a missionary conversion was necessary for the entire archdiocese.
Yeah, Pope Francis talks about a church that is closed in on herself becomes old.
That's right.
This initiative, I notice, really stresses not an inward look, an idea of maintenance, but really going out there to form missionary disciples.
That's right, exactly.
So what are some of the things that the Archdiocese will be doing to promote this?
You know, one of the things that we're going to start off doing is at our convocation of the priests, because priests are they're key. You know, the parish is the fundamental setting. Of course, the family at the heart of the parish is the fundamental setting for the new evangelization, for the unleashing of the gospel. And one of the things that has to happen in the Archdiocese of Detroit, and of course, we believe throughout the world, is that Christ be at the very center and the very reason and purpose for all that we do. That it is from our conviction that Jesus is Lord, that He is the Christ, that He is the Holy One of Israel, that we, all of us, must base our entire life on that truth and live out of that truth. And so we're going to have some, at our convocation of priests, we're going to have some unpacking of the Unleash the Gospel pastoral letter, and then we're going to have sessions throughout the Archdiocese of Detroit doing the same, so that what has happened with central services in the Archdiocese of Detroit might happen in every parish throughout the Archdiocese.
Bishop Battersby, your archdiocese is preparing for a special celebration in November, a beatification of Father Solanus Casey. Tell us about this great gift to the archdiocese and the Detroit area.
You know, the Capuchin Fathers have been an integral part of ministry in Detroit for many decades, and of the many gifts that they have brought to us. Father Solanus is certainly one of the foremost. Father Solanus was a simple doorkeeper at the monastery who touched the lives of countless people. If you speak to anyone in Detroit, including myself, Father Solanus has touched the lives of the people of Detroit. I know in my own family he healed my mother when she was a child.
Mm.
So Father Solanus is he's kind of the gentle lion. He's the one who speaks softly and invites everyone to trust in God, to thank God ahead of time for his love and mercy.
Your Excellency, one of the things that I found interesting about your diocese's Unleash the Gospel movement, so to speak, is that you openly asked for intercessory prayer. Can you talk
exactly
about that? Can you talk a little bit more about why you all decided to do that and how people can get involved in intercessory prayer as a part of Unleash the Gospel?
Well, at the heart of any initiative, if the Holy Spirit is not the driving force, then it's bound to be at least less fruitful than God intends, and certainly less fruitful than we would like. And so it's the conviction that it is the power of Christ alive in the hearts and of the people of Archdiocese of Detroit, and interceding with Christ, with our Blessed Lady, with the saints and the angels, that the new evangelization will really burst forth in the Archdiocese.
And Your Excellency, one of the ways that the Church gives witness, of course, is on the issue of refugees. I know that the Archdiocese has been very concerned about the situation facing Iraqi Christians, especially the Chaldeans, who are poised to be returned to Iraq. What's the latest on that?
Well, there has been a stay granted at this time for to prevent the deportation. You know, by and large, these are individuals who have integrated well into American society. Some have made mistakes in their past and have lived lives correcting those mistakes. And so breaking up families is of course, something we abhor. And while we're not at all opposed to separating people who are antisocial from the country, we don't want families broken up, and that certainly is the case in within the Eparchy of St. Thomas, which is the Chaldean Eparchy that is centered in Detroit.
And Your Excellency, I know that you are a recent person to be given the fullness of holy orders just this last January. So how are you finding being a bishop?
You know, it really, I think every priest should desire Episcopal ordination. And I say that not out as a matter of you know, some sort of craven climbing of some Episcopal ladder. I say it because it is a full confirmation to Jesus Christ, which is at the heart and desire of every priest and of every Christian. And so I found it both exciting and a little daunting. I realize the task is far beyond my competence, and I think that's why the Holy Spirit chose me, because I'm inadequate enough to be useful.
I like that. All right, Bishops Battersby, we appreciate you joining us on Morning Glory. We thank you so much for the good work that's being done there in Detroit, and we pray for the success of your movement.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
All right, thank you for your blessing. It's 5 till now, and let's go to Lisa Murphy for some Catholic chatter on Morning Glory.
We heard from Scott Sirk this morning, who was happy to have your voice jump in there, Brian, right at the beginning of the show. We did have some technical difficulty, but we were so glad to be on air this morning. We also heard from Jay, who very much loved Gloria's musing this morning, a picture of Lourdes's pure heart. And we also did hear from James, who has his sister's wedding this weekend in Columbus, Ohio. So if we could all say a prayer to the patron saint of good weather. Is it Saint Medard?
I believe so.
For beautiful skies and nice sunny weather.
It would be nice. All right, Father Mark Ivany referred to a quote from today's gospel, "So by their fruits you will know them." Matthew Bunsen, a senior contributor for EWTN, is with us, and this is from Matthew's gospel. Matthew?
Yes, it is, chapter 7, and the continuation, of course, of our Lord's teaching and the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the key lines in the very start of this is, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing." And in an age in which through media, through politics, we have a lot of false prophets, I think the words of our Lord are very apt today. Mm-hmm. Because underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them.
You know, this reminds me of, we're reading the book The Last Battle by C.S. Lewis, and it reminds me of how the donkey dresses up like Aslan the lion, and he's a false prophet. We'll see what happens. We're not finished with the story yet. But.
And go to the first reading today, the book from Genesis, The Promise to Abraham.
I was thinking of Little Red Riding Hood. What big mouth you have. Yeah. All right, so on that note, we encourage you to join us tomorrow again for Morning Glory. It'll be Thursday, and we're going to have Father Bryce Sibley with us. In the meantime, let's pray, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen."
Starting your day giving glory to God. Join us again tomorrow for Morning Glory on EWTN Radio.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift.